Welcome to the Detail Solutions Podcast. My name is Alex Russell and I am your host. I'm going to try and zip through these because I've got somebody special tonight for tonight's guest. I'm excited. So the detailsolutionspodcast.com, you guys know I talk about it all the time. It's the best website in detailing, mainly because it's our website. You can find all the links on where you can follow us, where you can see us, all that fun stuff. And then we have the vendor page. So the preferred vendor page is all of our wonderful ad sponsors who you will find a link directly to their website along with a coupon code that's going to save you some money. So when you go and spend money with them, they'll gladly in turn spend money with us. We bring you that funny hashtag money, money, funny. And we have the merch store where you can go and find t-shirts, hoodies, long sleeve hats, all with the podcast logos, the Concaster shirt, all that fun stuff. We are on YouTube. If you want to watch these on YouTube, the Detail Solutions Podcast is our YouTube channel. Please go like, share, follow, subscribe, hit the notification button over there. We're getting ever so close to that 1,000 followers on TikTok so we can finally start going live. So that is the Detail Solutions Pod over on TikTok. We'd love for you to follow us there. Check out some of the cool little videos. Jason makes shorts out of the episodes. And let's see, what else do we got? Oh, if you would like to be a guest on the podcast, please shoot me an email at detailsolutionspodcast@gmail.com. Leave me a little message. Hey, Alex, love to be on the show. We'll get to you and invite you on, make a schedule something. It'd be great. And please go like, share, follow, subscribe, hit that notification button anywhere that you listen to the podcast. Please leave us a review. It'd be very helpful to us. If you're on Spotify, leave us a 5-star review. If you're on Apple, leave us a 5-star review and maybe take a minute to actually write something nice about us. That's it. Let's jump into our first commercial break so we can get to our exciting guest for today. We'll be right back. Fiber has every pad you would need, including tire pads, towels, got them. Windows, wheels, interiors, paint, the all new mitt on a stick for hitting taller vehicles, or the new bug sponge for fronts. And then we have the Dragon Wash Sponge Mitt. It's perfect for the two bucket system, glides on the cars, easy, soft on the paint. Hey, don't forget, go watch us on YouTube. Check out our channel. And in the barrel blade, it's perfect for getting in between those tight wheels, calipers. We also have the Dreadknot. It's the staple of all auto fiber towels. If you're not using it to dry, you're missing out. And in the new wheel pawl, for getting those faces, getting in between spokes, getting the lug nuts, all those hard to reach places. So go to autofiber.com. Make sure to use the code DSP at checkout.
Hey everybody, Rennie Doyle here, founder of the Detail Mafia and Detailing Success. You know, I love quotes and this is one of my favorites. It's not enough to do your best. You must know what to do, then do your best. There's a lot more to detailing than just making paint shiny. To be successful, you need to be a well-rounded detailer and most importantly, an entrepreneur. At Detailing Success, I really take pride in that we'll not only teach you the highest level detailing skills you need, but we will mentor and coach you to be a profitable business owner. Our advanced 5-day training is held monthly at my hometown, in the beautiful town, I may say, of Big Bear Lake, California. If you want to learn more, email me directly at rennie@detailingsuccess.com or visit detailingsuccess.com and ask about our special offer for our podcast listeners. Happy detailing, everybody. Take care. We'll see you next time.
All right, and we're back with Adam. Everybody probably knows Adam. How you doing, buddy?
I'm great. Just walking inside the house. Got a little windy out there.
So did it?
So find a new zone.
Nice. So for anybody who doesn't know Adam, come on. Adam's polishes.
That's us, buddy. You got it.
Yeah. So listen, man, I'm kind of excited about this one because you know, I've kind of had you on my list of, you know, kind of, you know, gets for a while. And, you know, a buddy of mine was talking to me and kind of gave me an idea for a topic. And I was like, man, that'd be perfect to reach out to Adam to see if he'd come on for a topic. But I was like, man, I want to get him on as Q&A first and, you know, learn his story, because I'm not too familiar with it. And I don't know, you know, a lot of our guests are. So, you know, I'm going to start off with the how, where, why, when did you get into detailing?
I was pretty young when I got into it. And it was just a blessing to get into a passion at a young age, you know, find a direction and stick with it. So most people, if you've ever heard of my story before, you probably couldn't click off right now. You don't have to listen to it again, but
no, don't click off. Don't click off.
Five-star review. Stay here. Yeah. Okay. So I started with a bicycle repair and cleaning business.
Okay.
And I was about 10, and my mom started dating a guy who was a cyclist. Parents had just gotten divorced, and basically they ended up getting divorced. My mom started dating this guy. She went to work. He was a doctor at Allergan Pharmaceuticals, a big pharmaceutical company in Irvine, California. And he left his bike at our house after a long ride. And I believe he did it. It was in the rain because the bike was filthy. Anyway, by the time he came back over, I had cleaned his bike up. He had Campagnolo components on his bike, you know, aluminum wheels. Yeah. And so I just polished his bike up, pulled his chain off, gasoline soaked it, scrubbed it, put it back on, and retaped his handlebars. He had gone down at one point and scuffed the handlebar tape. And so I just did it up. And then he came back and saw his bike, and he's like, "What? This is crazy." So you know, how God came into it was he went back to work and told everyone on his 150 person cycling team, that I was a prodigy manual laborer, that I had some real skills at cleaning stuff. So anyway, so I had, I went ahead and my mom started bringing home bikes 2-3 a time in her Volvo station wagon. And I just bring home bikes and went ahead and put up a little advertisement, you know, Adam's Bicycle Repair and Cleaning, on all the cork boards at Allergan Pharmaceuticals. So that was how it all kind of started. And then that led into to cars, when every weekend I would do a little car wash with my dad.
Okay.
And my dad would come out and I could wash the car, no problem, but I couldn't really reach the roof. So he'd come out and dry the roof. And one neighbor came over. He had a brand new 1982 SR5 Toyota pickup, you know, yellow with brown stripes, brown vinyl. And he came over and goes, "Hey, would you be interested in washing my truck?" And I'm like, "Oh, yes, that's like the best thing in the world." You know, open the door and the smell of that brand new vinyl and that Toyota was like, I still can tell you today, I can smell it today. Right now, if I tried hard enough, it's such a great smell. So anyway, I went ahead and washed his truck, and my dad came out and dried the roof. And I said, "Listen, I can see something here. This is going to get bigger. You're going to start washing all the neighbors' cars. Just remember, I'll dry the roof, but you got to clean my car every week." I'm like, "Done, Dad. We'll do it." So just neighborhood car wash, and then neighborhood car wash and wax. And you know, my parents, we had a house, and then we, as they got divorced and everything got tight, we had to get two houses, right? So then dad moved to a high, you know, sort of a, you know, a high occupancy area, right? An apartment building. And my mom moved into a sort of the same thing where they had a lot of neighbors suddenly versus just a single family area. We have a handful of neighbors. So my business, my little car wash business grew, and I threw papers. I always threw papers. So I do my paper out in the morning, and then I picked up another paper out from another kid. It was a flake. And did his paper out. And then I'd wash a car or two cars every day after school. And, you know, by the time I was in junior high, I had a pretty busy little business. And me and a buddy of mine named Gabe Hill, he would help me. And we would wash these cars. And it was just a busy little business, man. It was going pretty well all the way through high school. And then in high school, one of the things that I didn't like about doing just people's cars is that any change in weather or anything that changed in their schedule, it would get canceled. You know, they'd be like, "Oh, you know, I kind of got something coming on. I can't make it this week."
Right.
And my weeklies were not always weekly. You know, my weekly washes were two a week, two a month, or three a month versus all the time. So I thought, well, I'm looking around at all these different vehicles driving around, and what's the shiniest? And I mean, I grew up in Southern California, right? Well, limousines. It was the rage, you know, early 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Mid-80s, there was black huge limousines and white huge limousines. And I see these limousines, and I see a lot of swirl marks in them. You know, you see the white tops were like little tingy, kind of brownish because they hadn't been scrubbed well. And I'm like, you know, I could probably get some business out of this. So as soon as I got my license, you know, 87, I got my license. I drove and I found the top five limousine companies in town. Most of them are in Irvine, and there was a couple of them in Lake Forest, so all kind of close to where I grew up in Dana Point. And I said, listen, let me do a car for free. I think you're going to really like the way I work. You're going to like my job. You're going to like how much attention I put into the vehicle. If you let me do one for free, I think you're going to hire me. People are like, you know, kind of get out of here, kid. A lot of people are like, nah. I go, listen, let me do one wheel then. Let me just show you what I can do with those, you know, the wire wheel hubcaps. They all have wire wheel hubcaps. That was kind of the thing then. They're all Lincoln Town cars, like all of them. And I said, let me do a wheel then, you know? And they're like, oh, you know, you're just go away. Fine, clean a wheel. Cause they didn't want me to touch the paint. They didn't know if I was just some hack. So eventually they let me do it. And eventually out of I think I did six of them. And I think I got five of the detailing companies. And that was real consistent business. So the idea of a, no matter what kind of a job, no matter what happens in the weather, people, you know, soccer moms that have suddenly a game that weekend or that week or a practice that are always canceling, these guys had to have these cars cleaned all the time.
Right.
And so the limousine business was really kind of a big catapult into my detailing business, and that it was a way for me to, no matter what, be able to build a bigger business based on consistency. And, you know, I like nice cars. I'm always into it, but I don't really care, to be honest, about exotics and all that stuff. At that point, I just kind of wanted to make money. So limousines were a really big launch. And again, it's, you know, I was, you know, I'll sit there and say, oh, I'm just so great. You know, everyone has their direction when falls into things, but I give a lot of credit to God for how my path ended up there doing that. And that business just grew and grew, and then kept doing lots of cars through high school, lots of limousine fleets. And then I got into college, you know, and went to USC, had to detail. I didn't make any money. I didn't have a whole lot of money, you know, going to college. So I was debt or detail money. So the debt and the detail money combined got me through. And at USC, a lot of these kids were rich. They were rich kids. So their parents had great cars. And they were the kind of people that used up those services. So I did some of my friends' cars, and then I did all their parents' cars. A lot of them are in Los Angeles. Pasadena was like a big, San Marino is like the richest neighborhood in Pasadena, which was very close to downtown LA where USC, where I went to college, and I was just doing a lot of detailing there. And it ends up that I'm roommates with this guy, Matt Dugally, and he's just this awesome guy. You're still this one of my dearest friends in the world today. His dad is an architect, and he happens to be an architect for the most wealthy, the actors, everybody else in the world. And all of a sudden, you know, Matt, he was like interning for his dad during college. He's my college roommate. He's like, hey, by the way, we're building a house for Sylvester Stallone. Would you be interested in doing his detailing?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'd be very interested in that. That'd be amazing. Let's do it. Yeah. Absolutely. Let me think about it for a second. Heck yes. So I got to detail some people that were just way outside of my league, but just based on, again, you know, a big boost from the Lord and being able to get these crazy, amazing clients. So I kept doing that all the way through college, and got kicked out of college, was partying a little bit too much, and was down in Australia with one of my fraternity brothers on a little getaway. This is 1991, okay? And I get kicked out after two back-to-back semesters of a sub 2.0 GPA. I'm not a good student. And funny enough, my kids are, two of the three are also following my footsteps right now, unfortunately. But it's part of the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. So I ended up with I'm down there in Sydney in the eastern suburbs, a little place called Point Piper. And one of the kids is super wealthy. His name is Roderick David, super great guy, still a friend today. And I'm deep and I'm like, hey, I'm down here. And I get the news that I'm not welcome back at USC. This is over Christmas break, which is the middle of summer down there.
Right.
And anyway, so I'm like, well, I'm going to stay. I'm not going back home. I'm just no reason for me to go home if I can't go to college. I'm going to be on my own. My dad's like, I'm not helping you at all. You figure it out.
Yeah.
So I decided to stay in Sydney. So I started a little business. I was detailing all these guys' cars. Again, total blessing that I show up and I just ended up with an immediate clientele of very high net worth people. So I'm cleaning the, when that new 500 SL came out, I think it was 90 or 91.
Yeah.
And I cleaned one of the first ones and was detailing. And one of the guys had a little Riva scooter and he's like, he wasn't using it anymore. Peter Maloof was his name. Anyway, he's like, hey, you can use my Revo 80 scooter if you clean my car every week. Done. So here I am. I got my USC backpack. I got one of those Mighty Max vacuums, those little tiny vacuums.
Yeah.
I got my backpack. I got a little bucket that I kept, the soap, the polish, and wax, and, no machine polishing at that point. And then the little basket in the front. I had towels, just a bunch of towel stuff in there and a couple of bungee cords holding them in there. And I'm just cruising all over the eastern suburbs and then all over Sydney, the north shore of Sydney, detailing. And I'd either be detailing or I'd be writing out on this little memo pad, which is all I had to start with. Hi, I'm a detailer. I'm an auto detailer from America. I would love to detail your car. Please call me. I would be honored to be your detailer. Boom. And I'd write these things out all night. And I would either be detailing or I'd be handing out these little slips on people's windshields or over their door handle when I wasn't detailing.
Right.
And another guy, Tony Mellick, gave me he had an old brick cell phone. Remember the Motorola cell phones?
Yep. Were like
big giant things and screw the antenna on like this. He says, listen, if you want to use my phone, you can use it. You got to pay the bill, but I have an extra phone. I'll light the account for you, but you got to do my car every week. Done. Because I couldn't get a cell phone down there. You got to be a resident or at least a member of the country, right?
Right.
Well, I wasn't. And but he helped me out. So again, total blessing. And I built up a neat little business. And one of the guys I left this little tiny memo pad under, his name is Phil. He had a business called Print and Run. He is a printer. He calls me up. He goes, hey, Adam. I said, yeah. He says, listen, I just got your little piece of paper under my wiper. If you detail my wife, he had a Toyota Celica and his wife had a Toyota Previa van. It was called something else down there. I forget what they called them, but whatever the Toyota van was. The big egg-shaped van, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm like, oh, I'd love to do that. So boom, I'm printing business cards then, quality auto detailing. And I have all this stuff on our website or a full picture of all these different business cards with my 018 number is the Sydney, the Sydney cell numbers.
Yeah.
So I just kept doing that, kept handing out these numbers. And handing out my card and had a cool little business going and man, built it up. And I was able to kind of get through and do okay down there in Sydney while I was on a quasi vacation. And by the time it was time to leave and go back to reality, I had built up a neat little business. And one of the main customers I had was guy by the name of Jeff Foxman. He had a BMW repair shop.
Okay.
And again, total blessing. This guy's buying BMWs that are crappy, fixing them up, detailing them. And he's got three or four cars on his lot in addition to his business when he's doing, BMW repair. So I'm down there and it's busy. He starts doing more and more cars and I'm detailing, taking a crappier and crappier and crappier car and putting lipstick on the pig, making it.
Yeah.
And his business started to swell and my business started to swell with it. So it was pretty cool. And one of the customers, crazy enough, at the end of the deal, Richie Gazelle was his name. Richie Gazelle was one of the customers. He said, I want to I want to buy this business from you. At this time, Phil, the guy who was the printer, the guy that printed me those cards, his son turned 15 or 16 and whatever the driving age is. And he's like, listen, if my son can work for you, he can drive you around. He's got a little car.
Right.
Like, that would be great. You know, almost killing myself every day on a Riva 80 scooter all over Sydney. So anyway, he started working for me. So I trained this kid and got him really good. And he was able to do a full detail then at the BMW shop and for others. So I ended up selling an illegal business started by an alien without a work visa to Richie Gazelle. And he kept it going. And I turned around, hightailed it back to California. And I had to go to Long Beach State and get 12 units at a 3.0 and reapply and get back into college. And kept detailing, just kept detailing. And through college, through after college, I found out that I'm not good at real estate. That was not my calling. God did not have that for me. So I ended up with I worked for Marcus and Millichap, a big real estate company. They're kind of like Lean Associates. And they do just multifamily, you know, apartment buildings. They sell apartment buildings. And I'm like, well, I can do this. I think I can sell these apartment buildings. Well, I found out pretty quick that it was not cut out for me. That was not, yeah. not my calling.
Is that what you went to college for, to do real estate, or what was your... what were you trying to major in?
I tried to major in business. So I was in the entrepreneurship program there, the Marshall School of Business. And when it came time to graduate, I had all my classes done except for 5 math classes. And I went in for a degree check. And I was like, okay, so where am I, by the way? Am I getting close? Am I getting to be graduating in the next 2 years? And they said, actually, you have enough credits to graduate right now if you want a degree in psychology or political science. And I'm like, what? They're like, yeah, you're done. You're all of your stuff done. Only you need 5 more math classes, or you can have one right now. And I go, done. I'm out. And political science. I ended up with a degree in political science. I think I have my diploma somewhere in here. But anyway, it wasn't. You know, my degree was definitely had nothing to do with my detailing success, because except for good customers, but yeah, that was it. Just ended up there, and after a little while of trying to sell real estate, it was clear that I was awful, and it was not my calling. But I detailed a lot of the guys in the actual office, you know, detailed their cars. You know, something about detailing, it's just such a great feeling, is when you start with a turd and you end up with just a gem. There's just such an instant gratification to that.
Yeah.
You know, you love that. And I love that. And then money, you know, you walk right there with the money. It's like right there. And it's like, you know, it was before Venmo or any of that stuff. So this is cash money, you know, you're getting cash. Right. That was cool.
Yeah. But, I mean, a lot of people, you know, really, you know, use the term as, you know, we are artists, you know, in a sense, right. I mean, because you are taking, you know, that lump of clay, or, you know, that unpolished turd, or, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. and you're making it into something, you know, nice and spectacular. And, you know, whether it's, you know, art or what, you know, I mean, it's still kind of the same thing, I feel. So that's what I think is, you know, gratifying to me about it is, like you said, you know, somebody brings you, you know, their, you know, second most, you know, expensive possession, you know, for the most part. And, you know, you're able to make it, you know, look like a masterpiece for them. And then, like you said, then the money. Yeah, it doesn't hurt too.
Yeah, you got to eat, man. You got to eat. Yeah, it was dip. Yeah, I agree. There's just something to that. It feels great, you know. I still do it today, only I buy and sell cars. I buy them and go through them and change the wheels and tires and, you know, polish the paint out, make them awesome, and drive them for a while. I guess I didn't really like that car, and then move it on. And so I still do it. I still love it, but
yeah,
many, many, many years later. But yeah, you know, it's funny to think I'm 50, I'll be 52 next month. And I've been in this business for 42 years.
Yeah.
52 years old, but it is a total blessing. You know, it's just a great career. It's a great business. I think that, you know, people would look down at manual laborers. I remember my dad. So my parents are both PhD. My dad's got his PhD in education. My mom's an audiologist, and she works for the hearing impaired. And, they weren't totally fired up on me being a manual laborer. That wasn't their thought of the ideal outcome for their kid.
Right. But
for me, it was, I loved it and didn't make any apologies. But it was the beginning of something, and detailing can lead to so many things, and it did for me. And so eventually I realized that when real estate wasn't my jam, I knew it wasn't. I went to the Orange County Swap Meet in Costa Mesa, California. I've been going since I was a kid. My dad used to go, and we'd go there and buy olives and bread, and we're Italian, so that's part of the thing. So we'd go there. I'm trying to get my little computer set up. So anyway, I love this open air marketplace. It was cool. And I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I had been using this product called DER Stuff, D-E-R Stuff, S-T-U-F. Okay. And DER Stuff was started by a guy named Dave Herbert. And it was a partnership through Dave Herbert and Bill Yates. Now, Bill Yates was a very successful Porsche Volkswagen dealership in San Juan Capistrano. And they decided to start this business between DER Dave, with a little backing from Bill Yates, the Porsche dealership. They started this DER Stuff product. Well, I was using it because it was right down the street from my house. I could ride my bike there and buy it, just as easy as it was to buy stuff from anywhere else.
Right.
I was using this stuff, and it was better than most stuff that you could buy in the store. And I'm like, I was still using it. Remember after college, I met DER Dave when I was 12. By the time I was out of college, I was 25. I was like, I'm still thinking this is the stuff. So I went and I set up a little table at the Orange County Swap Meet. And I put the products out there on the table. And I was like, man, this is awesome. I'm going to try to sell this stuff. Cause on the weekends I'm selling real estate all week, but I'm not, I'm just detailing their cars, but I'm trying to sell real estate all week.
Right. Yeah.
So I started selling stuff on the weekend. And the thing that he didn't have the how-to figured out. He didn't have with that bottle of glaze, the DER Shiny stuff, he didn't sell applicators. And this was before microfiber. So the best towel you could buy back then was a diaper, the cloth diapers.
Yeah.
That was the best thing you could get. So I put together these kits, and I'd put a wash mitt in there. I'd get them from SM Arnold, the wash mitts, and then the water Sprite, synthetic chamois from SM Arnold. I'd get the applicators, and I would start doing, I started doing these buckets, full complete kit. And then people just had so many questions. How do I get the water spots off? How do I get this haze off the inside of my windshield? That was like the number one. Everyone wanted to know how to get the haze off. And I'm like, I use the DER Shiny stuff, not microfiber applicator, but their terry cloth, cotton.
Yeah.
And you put a glaze on the inside of the windshield, wipe it off, and boom, you're gone. All that haze is gone. Basically it's a solvent-based glaze. And people are like, oh, that's so great. And they'd go and they'd get good results, and they'd come back the next week and, hey, that worked. But I can't figure this out now. I got this scuff mark on my white, my blue car has white paint on it. My wife's white car opened the car door into it. Now I got a white mark on there. What do I do with that? Well, use the DER Tough stuff, and boom, rub it out, and I'd show them. And eventually I had a location where I could actually pull cars up right behind our booth.
Oh, okay.
So my question was always, people had a problem with their car, and I'd say, where's your car? Oh, it's out in the parking lot. Great. You finish your shopping, pull up, you go through this entrance, pull right up here, look for my American flag. I always fly American flag up on our booth. Look for the American flag, drive up to it, honk your horn twice. As soon as I'm done with the customer, I'll come out and help you solve the problem. And people are like, oh, that's great. Thank you so much, man. Great. So the next thing that was a total blessing and a godsend was getting a chance to talk to customers back and forth, eye to eye. Being able to do that gave me so much education. It was incredible. What people need is real consistent. People were always asking very similar questions. They always had the same set of questions. So I was like, yeah, no, here's what you need for that. We do this thick dressing. We called it, it was DER vinyl stuff.
Okay.
You use it on the plastic door, the plastic, door handles. You use it on the plastic mirrors, bed caps of your pickup. Yeah, DER vinyl stuff. They didn't like Armor All. Armor All wasn't the premium stuff. And you got to use it with a little sponge. It's a thick lotion. You got to put it on nicely. Okay, good. What do you clean it with first? Oh, you clean it with this stuff. Boom, boom. I was educating these people and they were educating me. I was helping them and they were helping me understand how to sell car care products. And it just became real easy to answer people's questions because we had such a nice set of answers prepared because the questions were so consistent. And then as a people, one thing that people kept on doing is they got home and they forgot everything. They forgot what I'd tell them. They forgot what I, the things. So I started doing instruction sheets. And it was an 8.5 by 14 legal page. I laminated it and I had one form, which was in English, and I had another one, paso a paso instrucciones, you know, step-by-step instructions in Spanish. Because in Southern California, and I speak Spanish, I grew up in Southern California, so, you know, most people speak Spanish there.
Right.
And I started taking it in school when I was in seventh grade, so I just, you know, ended up with a pretty good handle on it. Well, by giving the people these answers so they could go home and achieve success, you know, they became really good customers because they kept getting the results that they wanted on their cars. And so we were selling more and more and more stuff. And man, that business just grew and grew. And almost within about 3 or 4 months, I would go to Der Stuff's headquarters and Der Stuff ended up selling. Old man Yates, Bill Yates died. And he left the estate kind of in shambles. He didn't really have a will. He didn't have it set up. So basically they sold all the assets of the dealership kind of like on the courthouse steps type thing, you know, like an auction.
Yeah.
One of the guys that showed up to the auction was a guy who had a wheel and tire shop there in Costa Mesa across the street from the fairgrounds. And he was there to buy some tire and wheel mounting equipment. And he saw that this car polish business was for sale and he bought it. It was small, but he bought it. Anyway, so I'm buying the stuff now from this new owner, and Der Dave is still involved. And I hired Der Dave, Dave Herbert, who's just amazing, just an amazing guy. You want to trip out on somebody, look at his YouTube channel. It's called Night Flyer, N-I-T-E, Flyer. He does remote control airplanes and remote control jets and helicopters. He's like, you know, he's an ex-military guy, a Marine. He's just a wonderful guy, and he was the one who got me into it. He teach me how to do the demonstration. So the demonstration, we would take my truck. At first I had a crappy truck and I eventually leased a new truck, but we would literally put spray paint on the hood. Then we would rub road tar over it, like big chunk of this soft road tar. We'd rub it over there. And then we'd squirt a bunch of lighter fluid on it and boom, light it on fire. And man, anybody who was walking within, you know, 100 feet would stop and go, "What is this? What's going on?" And they'd come stop and see our demo and buy the stuff. But I started recognizing that, you know, a lot of the stuff that the Der family and the Der products didn't have was application methods and instructions and education. So I started doing other stuff and said, "Listen, guys, we really need a wheel cleaner." Because I was giving away Simple Green.
Okay.
Jeff Hyder was the principal at Simple Green. Jeff Hyder was like the president of Simple Green forever. Still a dear friend today. He gave me as many pallets of 10-ounce Simple Green as I could give away, because a 10-ounce tall skinny bottle I could squeeze in that detail kit in the bucket. And I just kept using dirt. I kept using Simple Green. And anyway, I asked Der Stuff. My dad's business turned around, came back and started doing well. And my dad said, "Listen, son, why don't you go to them and offer to buy the business?" Mm-hmm. How I knew that I was a big part of the business is that every Friday I'd go to Der Stuff, their headquarters, and I'd buy just about every case of product they had on their shelves. They'd be working all week to fill the bottles and I'd wipe them out every Friday.
Oh, wow.
So, because our business was busy, it was going pretty well.
Yeah.
We were super blessed. Anyway, I said, okay. So my dad offered to loan me the money to buy that business. So I went to the new owner, his name was Jerry. I said, "Jerry, I think I'd like to buy Der Stuff. I think that we need a whole bunch more products and some stuff." And he said, "Oh no, this business is going great. I'm not interested in selling at all. No way. You know, heck no." I'm like, "Oh, bummer. That's a real bummer." Okay. So I started selling some other chemicals, and Der Stuff was all made at Granitize. Granitize is a company based in Santa Fe Springs, California, right? So they made all their stuff there. and I would help them get it because they couldn't get it fast enough. So I would help them go pick up the drums and deliver them and start helping filling them because I needed them a little, I needed more product than they could fill in a week.
Right.
So I went to Grand Tires and, hey, listen, by the way, I need a wheel cleaner. You know, I need a detail spray. I need something that, you know, a finished detailer. They didn't really have one of those. I need a glass cleaner. I need a wax. So they didn't sell wax. So they were like, yeah, well, we kind of have a thing with their stuff. We can't really do that. You know, we there was a conflict. I said, okay, well, I understand. Fine. So I end up learning about and going to meet Tunch Gorin at 3D. You know, yep. Tunch? Yep. So Tunch is one of my dearest friends in the world. And he helped me massively. Got me started with a new compound of a foam pad glaze is what he called it. And I called it scratch out initially because we needed something a little more abrasive to pull off, like, you know, paint transfers and scuffs.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And then a detail spray, the paint detail spray, I started buying from him and bottling it. And I put atoms on it, you know, atoms, because, you know, it wasn't dirt stuff. And so I started one product at a time, just kept launching new products. And then I went to go buy my dirt stuff one day, about 3 months into it. And the owner goes, I'm done selling to you. You know, you have your own products now. Why don't you just go ahead and get your own? And I was like, oh, that is a problem because I don't have all the products figured out yet. I just had,
yeah,
you know, 6 or 8 surrounding products, but I still really main product for the dirt stuff. And I was like, how am I going to end up? I was Friday and the swap meet was Saturday and Sunday. And again, God came, intervened, blessed us with full rain out both days. So we we had enough time to then go back and through Tunch and through a couple other chemical manufacturers, ended up working with Warner Chemical, David Velasco over there at Warner Chemical, and found these chemicals and was able to get them done and bottled and, you know, and get them labeled, had to get labels made real fast. And American Label was the company, and American Label would like turn around real fast for us. And their designer, Ruben Racinos, he's still in the business, a wonderful guy. He would help us too. And anyway, so we went from nothing to Adams Polishes in about 3 or 4 months.
Wow. Well, listen, let's take a break because we're like 8 minutes over. Because then I want to come back and then find out like how the progression of Adams ends up going. So we'll be right back.
Cool.
If you have not yet tried Oberg's new APS soap, now is your chance to receive 15% off by using coupon code DSP, all capital letters. Oberg's new all-purpose soap is perfect for all your exterior washing needs. This unique formula combines plant-based cleaning power that is effective and versatile. Whether you are mobile washing or maintaining a ceramic-coated vehicle, APS soap works quickly and rinses easily. This super concentrated formula can also be used on really tough bugs and is very effective in dirty door jams. To find out more, please visit oberkcarcare.com.
Attention detail shop owners, say goodbye to the hassle of multiple orders from all different suppliers. Car Supplies Warehouse is here to revolutionize your shopping experience. We have created a comprehensive online platform where you can find everything you need all in one place. We are constantly expanding our product range, adding new supplies, tools, and equipment. Our goal is to make Car Supplies Warehouse your ultimate one-stop shopping destination. And we don't just stop at providing top quality products. We understand that knowledge is crucial for running a successful business. This is why we offer over 100 online videos specifically tailored to educate and empower businesses like yours. So grow your skills and run a successful business with our online training courses. We take our commitment to education even further by providing in-person training classes. Our expert instructors will guide you through hands-on sessions, sharing their wealth of knowledge and helping you take your shop to new heights. We also have an awesome discount program that ties everything together really nice. Enjoy exclusive benefits and saving as a Car Supplies Warehouse member. Join DetailWise Pro under the Save and Learn tab on our website. website, carsupplieswarehouse.com, and experience the advantages firsthand. And for a limited time only, we are offering a special deal just for Detail Solutions podcast listeners. Sign up for DetailWise Pro using code PRO30, and you're going to enjoy 30 days of free access and free discounts. There's no obligation. You can cancel anytime. So come discover what you've been missing.
Okay, we're back.
I'm back too.
Yeah. So just for time reference for everybody who's listening, so starting making actual Adams products and everything like that, and selling it at the swap meet. Like, what year is this? Like, you know, when are you in?
2000.
Okay, 2000.
Started in 2000. Yeah.
Okay.
Graduated college in 96, 97. And did some real estate and lots of detailing then too.
Yeah.
And then realized that I needed to get back into my zone and get back with detailing. And,
yeah.
And like I said, detailing has so many different avenues that,
right,
that you can spin off. You know, you don't need to just, I love to mentor detailers and say, hey man, remember detailing is not just, you don't just do detailing all day and you're, oh, I'm so tired of detailing. I'm so tired of doing the actual manual labor. It's like, there's so many offshoots of detailing. There's not just the manual labor. You know, you can get involved and you can open a detail shop and you're bringing people into it. You can mentor kids and have them help you and get a lot of labor out of young people who are trying to figure out what to do with their life. And you don't need to always be pure 100% manual labor. So anyway, so that was it. That was about 2000. Started. In fact, it was February 7th. I believe that was a Saturday, February 6th or 7th of 2000. And that was my first day out there trying to sell stuff.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And so how did that, I mean, were the clients that were buying the other stuff off of you, like, did they matter that they were buying something with a different name now, or just because you explaining it to them and everything like that, they just were fine rolling right into it?
You know, as the changeover happened, I was selling, you know, Adams next to Dur stuff for those long enough to where there was just a little bit less Dur and a little bit more.
Yeah.
And the Adams stuff was pretty tough to beat. You know, I really went to I went to these basically, you go to any chemical manufacturing company, P&S, you know, another great company. It's funny. I know everyone in this business and I love them. I've got the coolest relationships. This is such a neat little thing. Rennie Doyle, you know, I saw her at his commercial earlier. He's such a neat guy. We hang out at SEMA. He invited me to his party last year. That was so much fun hanging out at the Detail Mafia party they had.
Yeah, we got lucky. Jason Bruno, who's my co-host on the Wednesday shows, we have thankfully a very good relationship with Rennie, and he actually invited us, was it just a couple of months ago, to come out to the Air Force One project.
Cool.
as his guests and do some podcasting. So I think we were the only people that were invited that weren't, you know, either a sponsor or, you know, mafia members. So that, you know, made us feel very special to go out there and be a part of that and everything. Yeah. Rennie's a super cool guy.
He is. I've got people sanding. We have a roof of our house that is all like this. You can see our roof. Anyway, there's guys here that are doing a re-up on it, and they must be getting really close to my office.
Okay.
Let me see if I can change locations
here. Yeah, no worries.
It's really loud in here. Louder or less loud? Oh my gosh. They're like on all sides of me right here. But
yeah, I can barely hear it, but that's, yeah. Everything is quietest.
Well, I think I'll head over here and hang out with my man Enzo. Enzo, say hi.
How you doing?
So anyway, okay, we'll go over here. I think it'll be quieter. But anyway, so the next big shift in our business was when this guy walks up to our booth, and he walks up at about 10 o'clock in the morning. This guy is at the end of his cigar, and he's at the end at Orange County Swap Meet. They sold these 24-ounce beers, huge beers. Uh-huh. He was at the end of his beer, and he was also at the end of his cigar, early in the morning. And he goes, hey, I got a problem. He's got Oakley Iridium blades on, right? And he's got his hat on backwards. He's like, I got a problem, man. I got this big problem. Okay. Yes, sir. How can I help you? He's like, I got all these trucks and they're all pink. And I go, wow, that's, you know, I'm thinking Molly Maid or you know, what's the pink truck? Mary Kay? Anyway, he goes, no. They're not, they're supposed to be red and they're all turning pink. And I go, okay. Oh, tell me more about it. He's like, I can't tell you about it, but you got to come see me. You got to come see my fleet. I need help. Are you a detailer? And I said, yeah, I'm a detailer. I'm definitely a detailer. So this guy goes, good. My name is Ron Vogt, V-O-G-T, Vogt. I go, okay, Ron, where do I find you? You got a business card? He's like, no, I don't have business cards. Do you have one? I said, yes, I do. He's like, give me my business card. He flips it over, doesn't even take one. He just flips it over, writes down an address, South Central Avenue, Los Angeles, California. South Central Avenue, that's very close to where I went to college, right down in the hood. So he goes, can you come see me tomorrow? This is Sunday morning. And I said, absolutely, I'll come see you tomorrow. Well, I drive to South Central Avenue, this address, and I pull up, and it's the Coca-Cola corporate headquarters in downtown Los Angeles. And Ron is the fleet manager for the Coke plant for the all of Southern California and one hub in Las Vegas.
Oh, wow.
And I pull up in this place and he's like, I walk up and I can't even find the guy. You know, I pull up at park and I go, I'm looking for Ron Vogt. And this guy walks out, you know, his hair's all slicked back, white shirt, all clean cut. He goes, that's me. I'm like, wow, you clean up good. Last time I saw you, you were almost trashed at 10 a.m. Anyway. So he goes, get in. He sits me in his golf cart. He has like one of those little Cushman metal, you know, golf cart things.
Yeah, yeah.
And we start driving all over. And sure enough, every truck in the entire fleet had oxidized and turned pink.
Right.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is a problem. No question. This is 4 months into our business. He's like, do you know how to fix that? And I go, I think so. Maybe. I kind of hope so. But I think I can. I'll figure it out. So I brought a few products with me and I went out there and I polished a little corner of one of these trucks just by hand. Right.
Yeah.
And I made it dark pink instead of red. I did not nail it.
Okay? Right.
Not nail it at all. And, okay. He's like, you'll figure it out. I'm like, all right, I will. You're right. So boom, give me the finish the tour. And I go, so Ron, how many trucks do you have? He goes, oh, 3,400.
Holy cow.
And I just go, wow, that's a lot of trucks. He's like, well, they're not all trucks. Some are our VP's cars. They had Chevy Luminas, Dodge Intrepids, and Ford Tauruses. And that's what the quote-unquote VPs drove. Those are the area reps. People that go around to, like, you know, grocery
stores. The convenience stores and grocery stores, yeah.
Yeah, and they would take their orders and do that stuff. And then the other bunch of them were Ford Aerostar vans and Chevy Astro vans. Those were the little vans that then supplied all the small places that, you know, a tractor trailer wouldn't go into.
Yeah, yeah.
And so anyway, there's my wife. So we ended up getting this account, and I'm like, I have no idea how to do this, but we're going to do it. So we started figuring it out, and little by little, we had ourselves quite a crazy detailing business. And then he goes, oh, by the way, you have to start late at night. And you have to be gone at 4 in the morning. Because we load them at 4 in the morning.
Right.
Okay, great. Hey, bud. So anyway, okay, fine. I can do this. So I went ahead, we got the account. And we started detailing these trucks. And the first truck took us 9 man hours. Took us 3 guys, 3 hours. So it was not fast. We were not fast. We were not getting it done. And we immediately recognized that I did not know what I was doing. You know, it was a lot of humility there.
Yeah.
And we started trying more stuff. And I got a chance to talk to a buddy of mine who had Jason Mentis, ballistic detailing. This guy's just, he was like, you know, out of Corona, California, I think. And he was like, hey, I'll teach you how to do this. I'm like, really? Yes. And then he let me borrow one of his trailers. And then he went ahead I'm going to get out of the main room next time. I'm going to my family's okay. Back in town. So anyway, it ended up being a pretty neat partnership. He helped me, taught me everything, how to get these things done. And then eventually we got it from 9 man hours down to 3 man hours. And we kept on every night. It was like every single night there was a lab, and the lab was live all night, just about every night. And how that lab worked was we were doing these trucks and we were starting to figure out what worked and what sure as heck didn't work, right? So I started messing around with chemicals. We started changing formulas. We started changing the processes, like what you do first and what you do last can significantly affect how long it takes to do one of these trucks. So we're like, okay, we're going to fix this. So within not too long, we got it down to a quick science. We show up at the Coke plant at 3 p.m. We get 12 trucks done, and we are out of there by 2:30 to 3 a.m.
Oh, wow.
And it was a lot of work, but we were able to develop a lot of chemicals. We really were able to do that. And I'd go back to the chemist the next day and be like, okay, I love this compound. However, the dust is so incredible that we're spending hours cleaning up the dust. I need something that has less dust. How do we do this? And he said, oh, well, try this. And we go back and it was horrible. And then it got a little better and then a little bit worse and then a little better. But we ended up with a pretty neat line of products. And every single night, it was literally like going to the lab. And every single night, I'd go get guys. Oh, my gosh, more sand. my house is so noisy right now. It's incredible. Unbelievable.
Cool for anybody who's watching to just get a tour of you walking around the house, from room to room.
You're getting my whole house, guys, because it's fully under construction. My wife and kids all just showed up, and now it's really loud here. So we ended up with a pretty line of products that was based on detailing Coke trucks all night, and that's how we really ended up with a line of products was based on the research that we did all night, every night. On these trucks, it was just crazy. We really had one heck of a ride. And that gave us the ability to get really thoughtful about the process. And about that point, we took the very first, no one had done videos, how-to videos. How-to videos weren't a thing. There was no YouTube. So we started filming a video because customers wanted to know how to do this. And you can only explain so much on an 8.5 by 14 sheet of paper. You need to be able to show it. You can't talk about detailing. You have to demonstrate.
Right.
You know, how you wipe polish off. If you take little tiny wipes, you do little tiny, tiny wipes, you're going to have smeary, smeary panel. You got to do big, long, flat wipes.
Yeah.
You need your hand dead flat on a quartered towel, you know, 4 layers of towel between your hand and the paint. It's going to get your outcome so much better. So anyway, I think my clan is now gone. I'm going to head back into another new spot for you. So we'll hopefully have some quiet time. But by the way, we're leaving for the mountains tonight. We're going up to the McCall, Idaho, to go to one last wake surf session before summer's over. Anyway, so the end of the deal, that was super good. It literally launched the company because we were able to get all these neat chemicals in using multiple chemical suppliers, and it just kept growing and growing. One day at the swap meet, I'm traveling. I have a 24-foot little trailer. I'm out at all these different car shows all over the country. And I really, that one of the biggest ones was in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Okay. And we did the Carlisle shows. I went to the Corvettes at Carlisle in 2001. So we were not quite 6 or 8 months in business. Just got back from that a week ago. Anyway, this was the show that catapulted us from a Southern California business into a nationwide business. Because again, this is pre e-commerce. There's no e-commerce. There's no Amazon. None of that stuff is out yet. So we were able to get our business nationwide by going car show to car show. One time while I'm gone, a company sets up right across the aisle from our booth on the Orange County Spot Meet. I had a father and daughter team who ended up starting to work for us. Mike Wilson and his daughter Ashley. They are a powerhouse, just amazing at selling, amazing at demonstrating. They just made people feel good. We always offer everyone water, Coke, or we did water, Coke, Sprite, or what was the third one? Water, Coke, Sprite, or Diet Coke. We had that, tons of it. We bought loads of it and bought it every time. They were just amazing at earning people's faith, or earning their business, earning their confidence, and they just did a great job. Well, they were sitting there selling like crazy right at the time that this little company set up right across from them, and they were testing a new product. That new product was a toilet bowl cleaner, and on the end of the stick, it had a little scrubby that you could quick release and drop that little scrubby in the trash can.
Yeah. Okay. I remember those.
Remember those?
Yeah. Okay.
So this is 2005. 2005, that was a pretty cool idea. They're testing public response to this at this open air marketplace because it was such a huge number of humans there that they could really get a lot of feedback. Like I told you, we got lots of feedback from the customer. Right. They were there for the same reason, to get feedback. Well, they ended up just watching us the whole time, just going, what in the world? We had, because our booth was always mobbed. We always were blessed with lots of business. And they ended up coming after the show. They placed an order on my website. Now, I just got a website set up, right? Just barely, because the e-commerce was just starting. They placed an order for like $5,000. Okay. Our biggest order ever was like $300. So wow. So I called them up and I said, Jessica Diaz had placed the order. Hi, Jessica. My name's Adam. I just got an order from you for $5,000. I just want to make sure this is your credit card. You ordered 17 of our super deluxe amazing kits. Was that an error? Because it just doesn't seem right. It seems mighty, you know, sketchy. She's like, oh my gosh, let me tell you. I'm so sorry. Yes, it was me. I work for Clorox Corporation. We own Armorall and we own STP. We're looking to add to our car care segment. And we like to buy companies that they were in the middle of buying Brita Filter, Sanford Charcoal, and Ziploc. Ziploc bags. They're in the middle of buying those three companies while they were looking at ours. And I was like, are you serious? Like, pinch me. This is crazy. I don't believe this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, we'd like to see if your company has the potential of being a $100 million brand. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty interesting. Well, what do I do? She's like, well, just send us the product. And I'm like, done. Anyway, that launched us into a thing where they filmed an infomercial. You want to see a crazy thing? So JB is James Brown, but they call him JB. He was a Fox football news. Yeah. Now he's CBS.
Yeah.
He's been in it forever. They hired him to come do an infomercial with me. And you can see it on our web, on our YouTube channel. You can see me and JB, Adams Polishes, JB. You know, Google that. You'll see our thing come up. So it's 2005, 2006 by then. Did an infomercial nationwide. Again, 100% God. There's no other way to describe why this would have happened.
Right.
And JB is such an awesome guy, by the way. We ended up doing this infomercial, and they ended up filling orders, and they were buying thousands and thousands of our detailing kits. And they aired this infomercial nationwide. Three easy payments, $33.33. And that just absolutely boosted us, boosted the heck out of our business, boosted the sales, got us nationwide. And so many people got a chance to find out who the heck we were as a result of that infomercial.
Wow.
It was God. I can't take any credit for that. It's too crazy of a story to think that,
right.
Oh yeah, it just happened. No big deal. I worked real hard. Yeah. Right. It was not that. So it catapulted our business. And then shortly after that, it was just another God thing. All the guys come into the Corvettes at Carlisle show with filthy, right when the C6 Corvette came out.
Okay.
It was 04, 05. 04 is probably when the 05 C6 came out. Anyway, they all show up. There's like six ratings, brand new body style Corvettes all rolling in there. And they all roll into the car wash. Well, I'm set up at the car wash helping everyone wash their cars. I got buckets, I got wheel cleaning tools, I got wheel cleaner, tire rubber cleaner, got soap and wash mitts and drying towels. And I'm helping everyone that I can. And I got two or three of my friends there, and they're helping me too. Well, it ends up that we wash, so the main core Corvette team, Harlan Charles, Kirk Binion, Steve Grilly, gosh, who else? Anyway, all these main people in the entire Corvette program drove their cars from Bowling Green, Kentucky, from the Corvette plant into Corvettes at Carlisle to show off the new C6. And I just happened to wash all their cars. And we just happened to help them all because they drove through tons of rain. and they were so stoked and they were so impressed. And they had some problems at their plant, and they had some questions about cleaning wheels, and they had some questions about what causes scratches, because car dealerships were scratching these brand new Corvettes.
Right.
They were trying to charge it back to the manufacturer, saying, "Oh, it's, the clear coat's delicate. It's a problem with them. It's not us. You know, it's not our problem." Right. Dude, they're washing the cars with push brooms.
Yeah, exactly.
Like hammering these cars. So, anyway, it ends up being a total blessing, and these guys end up bringing us another wing. And within a year, we are the licensed car care products of Corvette.
Wow.
And a few years later, we're the licensed car care products of General Motors. And now today, our products are in every single Cadillac, GMC, and Chevrolet dealership in the United States. And it's just crazy that it all started with a car wash and helping these guys out.
Yeah. And
so that another total, I mean, is it really right place, right time? Just working real hard, or,
yeah. Know, We had Steve Garrett from Corvette today on a few weeks ago or whatever, and he was mentioning, you know, being friends with you and the fact that, you know, Adams is the official, you know, product for Corvettes and stuff like that. Cause we were trying to do a collaboration podcast, and we were trying to at least tie a little bit of, you know, having him on there into detailing at some point. So you were the brought up, you know, to tie the detailing together.
Oh, that's so funny. What a small world, right?
Such a small, exactly.
So that was such an incredible, you know, blessing to be able to get into that circle through them, and just a happenstance, just because we happened to help them clean their cars up, and it was like right place, right time, and probably a whole bunch of God smiling on us. It was a really big thing. So anyway, that put us forward, and then we kept growing. The business kept growing, and we got a little bigger, and we definitely got bigger than I could have. I understood how to run the business,
right?
And it just was really over my skis. You know, I clearly had no idea of what it took to run this business as it became a 30 or 40 employee business. I was like, wow, I don't know how to do this. I'm not really the right guy for this business anymore. I need to find some help. And right about then, a guy came to me who he knew one of my employees. His daughter married the best friend of one of our key employees.
Okay.
And he heard about the business over, you know, on a ski trip. We moved the business to Colorado in 2009. California was constantly squeezing us. The California Air Resource Board, they wanted to cancel chemicals like all the time. California is definitely not a good state to be in the chemical business.
No. I heard it's getting even rougher now. You know, like I heard detailers are having hard times getting certain products because, you know, California is not, it, you know, letting people make them or sell them there.
It's true. It's super hard. They're not. I mean, for a lot of businesses, California's tough. I'll be honest.
Yeah. There's,
you know, if you're a service provider in California, you got to provide the service to your customers there. But if you don't have to be in California, there are more business friendly states. In fact, I would think that every single state is probably easier than California.
Yeah. There's a reason why everybody's leaving California and going to Texas or Nashville or Florida.
Get out. Yeah. Well, it is hard. It's harder there. You know, it's a harder place to do business. You know, it really is. They make it, the taxes, the workman's compensation insurance, all those things are significantly more there. And so it worked out to be a great place to be from, but not to grow the business.
Right.
I took on a business partner in 2016, and his name is Derek Johnson. He was just like a total operator. He was the CEO of Coors Tech. Coors Tech is the ceramics side of Coors Brewing Company. They built, okay. they started 100 and some years ago to make the beer bottles.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, in the 80s, Coors Tech made the ceramic panels on the space shuttle. So they're super high tech now.
Wow.
Anyway, he was the CEO of that company and retired with a nice parachute full of dough. And he started investing in small businesses, and he invested in ours. And then we were able to buy our main chemical manufacturer, and a little company called B&B Blending out of Colorado. Great company too.
Yep. I'm sure everybody knows it. it's the one that everybody mentions. You know, B&B probably makes this, B&B probably makes that.
They do, and they're great. Yeah. They're just such humble, awesome people. Bob Blanick and Roman Glemba are the two founders. Talk about salt of the earth people. And then the real win happened when they hired a guy named Chris Gallagher, who is an absolute genius. The guy, he is a strange bird, just like all geniuses are, you know? He is so bright, so sharp, so incredibly on top of chemistry and understands, you know, how to make things better and then how to make things better cheaper or how to make things better foamier or how to make the graphenes. He was the guy who started the whole graphene thing. It was him.
Okay.
And anyway, so we are all under the same, you know, we acquired them then. And we ended up acquiring some other businesses. And then a big chunk of Adams Polishes was acquired in 2020. And I still kept a big chunk of it, but I'm still very much involved. But we ended up with a new major partner, which helped us be able to have chemical manufacturing facilities, you know, in around the globe. You know, we've got them in Singapore and Shanghai and then down in Australia and all around. Oh, thanks, honey. My bride's giving me water. She's awesome. So anyway, it ended up being a total blessing. And so now the business has grown, you know, a lot. It's become big. You know, we're in stores now. We're in retail stores. We're not used a ton by detailers still. Only some detailers. Our stuff still seems to be a little bit, we don't sell the bulk product in the right sizes to go after the detailer. You know, the detailers still will go to the bigger bulk selling brands,
right, yeah,
than us. You know, yeah. You got, you know, we could name off all the competitors. 3D is one of them, you know, one of our, and you know, if you know anybody who's in this business, ask them, are you friends with Adam? And I'm pretty sure they'll say, yep.
Yeah.
You know, because we're just friends with everybody in this brand. This is a small industry and people are
It's crazy how small it is. You know, like I end up, you know, talking to people and, you know, it's like, oh, well, you know, friends with this guy who's friends with that guy, you know, and it's, yeah, it's everybody knows everybody. It seems like, you know,
sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So do you, so I was going to mention, because you're talking about, like, you're still not really like used by a lot of like detailers, you know, and do you think it's because of maybe the way you've always kind of sold it as kind of like that DIY through the swap meet and then through the Corvette thing, that it was never like really pushed to the detailers? Or do you think it's more of, like you said, like maybe just not in the quantity or sizes that maybe, you know, detailers would want to buy in and things like that?
I think yes, yes, and yes. I think that the quantity is, detailers need products that are inexpensive in bulk. You want to be able to buy it in a size that makes total sense. You want to be able to, you know, buy degreasers in 5 gallon pails. You want to be able to get stuff like that.
Yeah.
And a lot of the companies that are really great at that, they'll sell to jobbers, you know, the guys in like the white vans that drive around, and they'll come up at your one of your customers' place and sell you stuff, you know, right there. And that wasn't a model that we employed, you know, it wasn't a model that we did. And we just stuck with, you know, a lot of direct consumers. Now we do have quite a few detailers. I mean, I'm sure I think we have just over 1 million, you know, registered customers.
Okay.
But I know that we have something like 80,000 that are in the quote unquote detailing business. So
right.
Nothing, but it's less than 1%.
Yeah. You know, and is that something that you would like to see grow, or are you just like, you know, hey, our bread and butter is DIY, so let's just sell the DIY?
I would love to see it grow. And because me as a detailer, I'm a detailer. You know, I don't try to say I'm just some lofty, you know, position person. I'm
right.
A detailer. I've never thought that I'm something more than that. I think that selling detailers would be great. We have had growth to a level that has made it tough for us to get into a lot of different things. People say, why aren't you in the boat business? How about a motorcycle brand? What about the aircraft? You know, why not all these different things? It's like, because we're barely keeping up with the automotive.
Right.
To be honest with you, you know, like sometimes you place your order, you don't get it, doesn't ship for 3 days. Dude, today, that makes people so ticked.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you got to ship it same minute. You know, you want to, you push the button on your buy it now. You want to get the tracking number in 4 seconds.
Right, exactly. Right?
10 seconds at the most, but sure as hell not 4 days. No way.
Yeah.
You know, so it would be irresponsible of us to start trying to get into all these different segments without being able to really master how fast we can get stuff turned around now. So I love, you know, I talk to detailers so much. You know, I mentor detailers a lot, you know, tell people, listen, detailing is it's a way in to so many different businesses.
Yeah. Cause I mean, you look at it, I mean, you know, it's the full entrepreneurial thing, right? I mean, like if you can get into, okay, like, you know, running your own detail shop could help you down the line. You know, I mean, if you can run a successful detail shop, you could run a successful business, you know. If you're hiring and managing employees, you could work for a company or whatever that has employees. If you're really good at marketing yourself and branding and things like that, right? Like you can get into doing those types of things. You know, if you're, you know, kind of like yourself where you started dabbling into, you know, the chemistry of, you know, how things work and then, you know, going back and being able to say, hey, we like this, but it, you know, dusted a bit much. Can we change it? And then, you know, become a chemical manufacturer, you know, or work for a chemical manufacturer, things like that. So, yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot of things that you could springboard off of, you know, from having a detail business to any kind of profession.
Maybe even a podcast someday.
Yeah, maybe. I mean,
that'd be amazing.
I mean, I'm still trying to figure that part out. We're 3 years in and I'm still trying to figure it out.
By the way, that never ends. No matter what you do, you're always still trying to figure it out because there's always a way to do it better. There always is. There always is. I remember when I had these customers that come to me, it was so often people would come and say, hey, I want to get my car detailed because I want to sell it. How much? Almost always the answers are the same. I took it to the dealership. They offered me X dollars on trade. Ooh, that sounds pretty low.
Yeah.
I thought so too. Well, you know, definitely bringing it to them detailed would help, but I'd be willing to help you sell it. Really? I would buy and sell a car a month. And I wouldn't even own them. Car people let me, you know, I'd pay them to say, listen, can I sell it for you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. I'm going to detail the crap out of it. You don't owe me a penny. I'll photograph it. I'll take all the photos. I'll list it on, you know, back in the day it was on Auto Trader. And then I put it for sale sign because my little shop was right on a busy street in Redondo Beach, California, right on Manhattan Beach Boulevard. On Inglewood Avenue between Manhattan Beach Boulevard and the 405. Anyway, so I'd put a car out there and just, you know, put it out every day and put it in my shop at night. Man, I would always, you can, you know, selling cars. That was one way to do it. You know, getting into fleets, another way to do it. People launch, like you said, springboard into so many different things from detailing. And you learn so much. You learn about how to take care of your employees. You learn about how to sell a job. You learn how to do a better job, how to do it quicker, how to train new people. There's so many ways to springboard out. You end up saying, hey, listen, I want a car wash. I want to buy my own car wash or build one. Yeah. Right on. You know, there's so many things. You know, detailing is not just, oh, just labor all day long. You look at it every day. It's just a laborious day of sweating and becoming hot. You can get from detailing into a lot of places. And I think I'm a pretty good example. And so are you, of different things that you can jump into.
Right.
As an enthusiastic detailer who loves what you do. Anytime you love what you do for a living, life is so good.
Oh yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Makes it so much more fun. Yeah.
Amen. It sure does.
Listen, the old saying, you know, if you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. It's so true. And if you're just, you know, I always used to say, you know, I never met a detailer that ever had a case of the Mondays.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, we love what we do and are almost, you know, you almost have to, you know, force us out of a shop sometimes, you know, because we'd rather be there. We'd rather be talking to detailers. I mean, my wife all the time is like, which detail are you talking to now? Because she knows that, like, if I'm on the phone, like, you know, I'm pretty much talking to somebody in the detail business, you know. You know, so she just knows if I'm on the phone, it's, you know, I'm either, you know, talking to a friend in the business, I'm, you know, talking to somebody new or trying to, you know, get a question answered or whatever. So yeah, it's definitely that thing that you love, man. Well, listen, let's do our last commercial break and then I'll come back and I want to ask you these questions that I ask everybody else, kind of put you on the spot a little bit, and then we'll kind of wrap it up because I know you gotta start heading out to go do some fun water sports and stuff like that. So
yes, please.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
Cool. Tell us about your little wheelie journey you had yesterday. How'd that go on the Viper chair?
I stole this Viper chair. A lot of people hadn't played with one, so I quite like the fact that they got a shot.
Nice.
A lot of guys were generally trying out going, huh, these things are cool. But it was good fun, especially on this floor. Like, this is a legit carpet and all the cables, it just
rolls right over.
Rolls in its stride. Yeah, well done. It's a cool chair. I like it.
How comfortable are you right now?
Very.
Yeah. So do you think retailers should invest in a Viper chair?
You know what? My name is Alan Medcraft, and I would say go buy Viper.
Make sure to go to viperindustrial.com and at checkout, use the code DSP to save an additional $25 off your purchase. That's a stackable coupon, so whatever Viper's giving you off, get another $25 as well.
Do you own a detailing business but want to improve your success online? Or are you just starting out but not even sure where to begin? Let Detailers Roadmap guide you down the road to success. Detailers Roadmap is an all-in-one web solution for your auto detailing business. A custom website designed to help you attract and retain customers without breaking the bank. We'll write and design your website from start to finish and provide ongoing support to ensure it's working great for you. Our custom website packages include everything you need to succeed online. And with our local SEO services, we'll make sure your business gets noticed by customers in your area. So why wait? It's time to take your auto detailing business to the next level with an all-in-one website solution from Detailers Roadmap. Visit detailersroadmap.com to get started today.
Okay. I'm on a podcast for 10 more minutes.
Yeah. All right. That's right. Okay. So this is the part of the interview where I do have questions actually planned out. They're three fun ones. They're kind of just meant to kind of make you think on the spot. So the first one is, when did you realize your worth? Like, what was that, you know, moment where, you know, a lot of times I'm, you know, when I'm talking to detailers, I'm like, you know, you're, you know, 2 days into a $200 job and you go like, I needed to charge more money for this kind of thing, you know, but, you know, for you, when did you realize your worth being, you know, kind of a chemical, you know, manufacturer guy or whatever?
Well, that's interesting. Well, you know, the chemical manufacturing worth was pretty quick. It was early on because, you know, if you can save someone time, you save them a lot of money. The most valuable asset that we all have is time. I mean, there's no question about it. Time is like, it's the one thing that everybody wants that you can't have more of.
Right.
So if you can get excellence achieved in less time, you can charge a ton of money for the stuff you're selling. If you can help people do it, and it's, by us, we help with education by doing videos. You know, our first videos in 2001. In fact, it's on our web. It's on the YouTube too. Our very first video I did, like a Porsche boxer. We save people time. They will come back and really buy a lot of products. So I think that was a real big value proposition for Adams Polishes, was helping people save time when they're washing and drying their car. You know, you wash your wheels first. You drive your car, you pull it out of the garage, you start hosing it off. By the time you look around, you find your bucket. Then you start looking for your wash mitts and you got to wash them out. Meanwhile, the water's drying all over your car and you got water spots. Like, no, you know? So I think that was probably the most important thing. We saved people time, and that was our value proposition. That was what made our products valuable, because they came with education.
Right. No, that's cool. So this one's kind of a fun one. So this one is, you know, what's your fight song? You know, it's WrestleMania, it's fight night, you know, you're, you know, coming out to the ring, you know, what's that song that plays that, that not only pumps you up, but lets everybody know who you are?
That's so funny you say that. We played a song every single day at the swap meet, me and Dirt Dave. And we literally, at the end of the day, because we almost always crushed it, unless it rained, we had a very good day every day. And it was ladies' night, Cool in the Gang. And we said, ooh, yeah, oh, what a night. Dun, dun, yep. Dun, 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 dun. We would blast it. We would blast it so loud that often we needed to jumpstart one of our cars because we leave the cars open, car door open with a stereo blasting, and we had to like
wear the battery down.
One jump the other, but by the end of the day, I had this photograph of me and Dave with our beers. We always had a beer at the end of the day, and we would be blasting Cool in the Gang. It's ladies' night, and we would be looking at the people that were walking by, and everyone's just looking at our booth going, what are these guys part? What are these guys celebrating?
Yeah.
We would celebrate every day at the end of the day with ladies' night and just absolutely, I mean, obviously I'm not like this disco freak or anything, but
right, yeah.
You know, like Dire Straits is my favorite band and Stevie Ray Vaughan. But then that was the end of the day that we worked our butts off. We got here and set up at 4:30 in the morning. It's 4:30 in the afternoon now. We crushed it. And now we're going to blast ladies' night. And we did it every day. So if you were to ask me that, I have to use that ladies' night. Such a win.
That's a good one. That's a good one. You're one of the few that like was able to go to it. Like most people just go blank. Like they're I can't think of a song. Like everything escapes me. Again, the last one is kind of a variation of the 5 years, 10 years down the road kind of thing. So you're old enough to know Samantha from Bewitched. So if you could wiggle your nose and have your business or your career be where you want it to be, what does that look like?
I never thought that my business would be where it is today. I never thought that this would be possible. I never thought that I could take my son Enzo and jump in the truck and put an old Porsche in the trailer and drive from Eagle, Idaho, where we live, to Monterey and go rip up and down Highway 1 and Car Week and be able to do that is priceless. And I got to tell you, I often feel like pinch me, you know, I can't believe it. And I feel so blessed to be here, to be a dad to these kids, to be a husband, my wife, to have these amazing team members on our team that work their butts off to make this business sing. I can't even believe that we're here. It's a massive blessing. And if I was just to, you know, do the Bewitched thing and go somewhere, you know, if I'd go anywhere, I'd go back to where there was no cell phones. I'd go back in time to when the 60s and 70s and cars were awesome, you know, because I love that. But I would go back, but then I wouldn't have my kids with me. So, I think this was where we are today. We're here because we took care of our customers and we took care of our employees, and it helped us grow. You know, we grew with integrity, and it made us, it really was a huge, huge growth that I never in a million years would have expected. God's plan for us was big, and we feel very blessed. And we got to do right by a lot of people now, you know, because with great resources, you have great expectations, right?
Right.
So we're expected to do a lot, and we better step up and make sure we keep doing that. Keep donating, and we donate a lot of vehicles. We help people a ton, and we make things good for youth. There's definitely there's definitely a lot of blessings, I think, that have hit us. So I can't believe we're here. It's a total amazing thing that we landed how we have.
Right. No, it's like I said in the beginning, I mean, I don't really know you or know anything really about you. So that's why I was kind of excited for this one, because, you know, you are kind of a, you are a staple in this industry, you know, whether if it's, you know, people want to say, well, he's a DIY guy, or, you know, some people, you know, detail guy or whatever. Like, there's no doubting, you know, what you've done, you know, and I'm sure there's plenty of people in the industry that have done similar things, but, you know, at least from my aspect, you know, when your name is brought up, like, you know, you're that guy that started a company, built it, and then, you know, was able to sell it for, you know, big money. You know, most of these other companies, you know, they build them up within the detail company. They're able to sell them off and they're, you know, probably do fairly well, but you're at least, I feel like, in folklore of, you know, like the guy that, like, you know, got the Babe Ruth card and held on to it and sold it for, you know, like the crazy money kind of deal. So, like, I'm very excited to have heard all of it now and know, like, where you came from and the exact story and everything like that. So, man, I appreciate you sitting down and doing this so much. You know, is there, I mean, this is typically where I usually say, if, you know, somebody wants to reach out and get a hold of you or whatever. I mean, you did say you do some mentoring and stuff like that. So, yeah. I mean, is there an easy place that people can, you know, find you other than maybe, you know, like I did, just sending you a message on Facebook or, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the most direct, I'm old school. So email me. It's adam@adamspolishes.com. And I've had that email for almost 25 years, and I'll tell you what, I will respond, you know, and people send me messages, hey, I'm Adam, I've been using your products forever, and I can't seem to figure out this. How do I get there? Well, try this. You try this. You know, a lot of times I'll help people say, will you please send me a picture of your detail shelf, and I'll tell you how to fix it right now with someone else's product, because we know most of the other people's products too.
Yeah.
We can say, listen, try this. You might be able to fix it right now with, you know, some 3D or some Meguiar's or some Mothers or, you know, any of these brands that are also out there. You know, there's so many, and, you know, Griots, you know, like Richard Griot. I was hanging out with those guys in Monterey at the vintage car races. I love those guys. What a great group. So we can help people get results, even if they're not using our stuff sometimes, but heck, I'd love to be able to talk to and help in any way, young detailers, especially guys who are starting off, like, I can't seem to figure out how to make my business hum. And, you know, you just, and I have a few things that I'll tell you. And that's number one, did you do the absolute best you could do regardless of how much you charge for the car? Did you do the absolute most to make that car as great as you could? Did you use a glaze or something to cut all the film from the inside of the windshield? Because the number one complaint in any detail is going to be glass. You always end up with inside of the glass. So do the inside of the glass to perfection. Don't skimp there. But if you try your best on every car, and you're going in the hole because you're putting more hours into the car than you're getting paid for, it won't be long before you're making out great, you know, because people will eventually go, this guy is amazing. This girl is amazing. I just mentored an 18-year-old, my buddy's daughter, just graduated high school. She's going to flight school and she's detailing. She was mucking stalls. She's in horses. So cleaning out horse stalls, not exactly glamorous.
Yeah.
Taught her how to detail, and now she is doing great. And she just does. She goes all the way on every car, does as much as she can do. Full paint correction, ceramic coatings. She did two of my cars.
Oh, wow.
She does everything that she can do to make the car good, regardless of the charging.
Yeah.
And so many detailers are like, I'm not doing a full paint correction for that. That's too cheap. Like, well, tell you what, if you blow minds on every car, you will earn more business than you can handle.
Right.
You know, that's one of the biggest words, you know, pieces of advice I'd give any detailer is blow the customer's mind. You know, always have a clean work area at the front of their driveway when you're detailing. Your bottles are all hanging off the bucket, or they're on a detail cart, not just scattered all over the ground. You know, you don't leave half moons of tire shine on their driveway when you spray their tires and it sprays it on the ground. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Those kinds of things, you know, you just, people really appreciate when you go above and beyond.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, love
and, that. Yeah. And like you said, I mean, you know, you go full out, cause you never know, you know, what that client has. And a lot of times they're giving you an audition with maybe their, you know, crappiest car, you know, and I've had that a few times, you know, where you know, and one of my good clients, you know, the first car I ever did for him was his wife had a little Lincoln MKZ. I did an interior detail or something like that. And it was weird, you know, did it. He seemed happy or whatever. And I think it was like a year and a half later, he calls me and he's like, hey, you know, I've got this Maserati that I'm getting ready to trade in. You know, I need to get it polished out. And, you know, so he brings it in, it's white, it's kind of, you know, hazed up and I, you know, bring it back, give it a real nice shine, make it look great. And he goes, you know, and then he goes to me, he goes, cool. He goes, my, you know, this was back in, I think like 18 or so, 17 or 18 when the Portofinos came out. And he's like, my Portofino gets here next week. That's why I wanted this one cleaned up. He goes, I want you to do my Portofino when it comes in, you know? Oh, yeah. So, you know, not that a Maserati's, you know, chump change or whatever, but you step from a Maserati up to a Ferrari, and then, yeah, you know, and then after the Ferrari, he brought me his slant nose turbo, you know, and then we kind of went from there. And, you know, but it's, you know, his wife's little MKZ was the audition car, you know, and yeah, it took a year or so for him to finally, you know, bring something back to me, but he did. So yeah, you know, you're right. Go do it all and do it right.
Yeah. Blow minds, man. You get so much more business when people, you earn respect.
Yeah.
You do a killer job for someone, you earn their respect. They're like, cause let's be honest, if you're a detailer, you're detailing cars for successful people. Chances right. are, you know, losers don't pay people to get their cars detailed. They go to the car washer.
Exactly.
Loser if you go to the car wash. I'm just saying that, you know, your chances are you're working for someone who's probably done pretty well. And especially these cars like you're talking about, the Portofino and stuff. Wow.
Yeah.
Those customers really appreciate excellence. And excellence is just so rare today. These detailers today come and go. The average detailer, I swear, they're in business for 15 minutes.
Yeah,
you know, they're come and go. It's a real transient business.
Yeah, so
if you're doing an excellent job, my gosh, you're going to earn that customer, and you're going to hold them for a real long time.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Well, listen, Adam. I again, man, I really do appreciate you doing this. You know, it definitely was a lot of fun to learn about your story. You know, your come up. Hopefully our listeners haven't heard it too much before, you know, so hopefully it's new for them. Yeah.
At this point, you're a trooper.
yeah, exactly. So yeah, man. And, I'd love to reach out to you again. Like I said, I've got a topic idea that maybe we can bring you back in for, down the line or something like that. And I'll reach out to you with, you know, and kind of pitch that to you and see what you think of it or whatever. But, until then, man, I appreciate it, man. And have a great weekend.
Thank you so much. Have a great weekend as well. I really appreciate the opportunity to
hang out with you, Alex. Awesome, man. All right. Take care. I'll talk to you soon. Bye. All right. So that was Adam from Adam's Polishes. I mean, like I said, you hear a lot about what he's done in the industry and the things, you know, his chemicals, whether, you know, you think they're great, you know, or you think they're just a DIY, you know, whatever. You know, you can't doubt what he's done, or you can't, you know, discredit what he's done. And what he's done is, I feel like something that not too many other people in this industry have done at his level. Yeah, build a company, sell it off for a little bit of money, but you know, he's the one, you know, whether he did or didn't, you know, has the reputation of doing it and doing it big. So, that's it for tonight. I hope you guys had a great, Labor Day weekend. Please go like, share, follow, subscribe, hit the notification button anywhere that you're listening. Please leave us a 5-star review anywhere you're listening. And then, yeah, so that's it. Have a great day, weekend, night, whenever you're listening to this. Take care. Bye.